Welcome to Mount Pleasant Methodist Church in Van Cleve, Mississippi. Thank you for joining us for today's sermon. This is our sermon for February 1st, 2026.
Will you remain standing for the scripture reading this morning, which comes from Corinthians? This is Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. There are some Sundays, I shouldn't tell this, but I will, it's fair. There are some Sundays that I'm just not in the mood to preach. Now, some of you are just finding that incredulous. You're just going, I can't believe that. As much as I enjoy it, and I do, and as much as I feel called to it in a powerful way, I do, there are just some Sundays that I can take my iPad and take a script I might have and just kind of throw it out the window and say, I'm not in the mood to preach. And it is fair, because there are some Sundays you don't feel like you're in the mood to come to church, so we'll just leave it at that, all right? Is that a fair trade? If y'all can keep that mood, I can keep that mood. And sometimes I wonder if it's because it's so hard, especially, I suspect that when Paul wrote these words, it was hard then, and it's hard now to get people to understand what's at the heart and at the core of the gospel. In a few moments, we're going to come to the altar, we're going to receive Holy Communion together, and we'll remember Jesus' death on the cross. Body broken, blood shed. So we'll have a visual aid, so to speak. But it's hard sometimes, because the gospel, according to what Paul wrote in Corinthians, the reading that we read this morning, he says that it is not impossible, but it's foolish. Now, when I was growing up, I've mentioned it too many times, and I had two grandmothers that were very influential in my life, one probably spiritually more than the other. But one of my grandmothers had a phrase, and she would say when I was acting, I was kind of hitting at that with the kids, and maybe you heard this phrase before. My grandma would say, that's just tomfoolery. Y'all ever heard that phrase? How many of you ever heard that, tomfoolery? Were you ever accused of that as a child? Have you ever been accused of that as an adult? Some of you. But she'd say, that's just tomfoolery. I went my whole life trying to meet Tom to figure out who was worse than I was. But tomfoolery or foolishness is what he speaks of in this passage. Tomfoolery. I don't know about you, but I don't think preaching the gospel is tomfoolery. I don't think even if I'm not in the mood to preach that I still should get up and say something about the cross. We should either do it in a prayer or a song or in the ritual of communion. We should do it in some way to do it. So I'm wondering what happens to you when you get not in the mood to hear that the cross is the power of God unto salvation. And for those who can't hear it, maybe you fear that sometimes you're this way, that it seems like foolishness. Here's what I do. I'll go back and read some really great sermons. I'll go read some old sermon, maybe from somebody that preached this back in the early part of the history of the church, and what we call the before the Nicene Creed, before 313, before that, when people didn't have creeds and they had to express themselves in sermons and in writings. And so I go back and read some of those great preachers of that era and the monks who were writing these sermons, and I think they thought it was important. And then I fast forward into the Middle Ages, and I read the saints of God, and they thought it was important. And then we get to the Reformation, and we hear guys like Luther and Calvin, and then later on in the later part of the what I call the New Wesley Reformation, we hear John Wesley say, it's important, it's not foolishness, it's at the heart and at the core of what we believe. In fact, Luther said this one time. He made this statement when he was asked, did he think it was foolish? He said, all of our clever wisdom and reason can well serve to make mad saints and wild Christians, but they can never, never know our Lord Christ until they first become fools again and humbly let themselves be taught and led by the simple Word of God. Now, that is coming from a guy who literally broke from all the traditions of his life, from his faith. He broke from that to say that we need not have the kind of education perhaps that we talk about in the church. We need not have the knowledge of Greek or Hebrew. That all we really need is to see the cross for what it is. Is it literally the power of God to save us? I wonder sometimes I'm a mad saint, a wild Christian, and not that. But I want to talk about two things today. I want to talk about the power of God. The power of God. The word, by the way, that Paul uses in this text is the word from which we get the word dynamite. In other words, it's the dynamite. It blows everything out of the way. It's like when I was probably in the fourth or fifth grade, we lived in a little community in North Carolina called Aberdeen. It was near the Southern Pines, Pinehurst area. My dad was running the Howard Johnson's restaurant, and there were beavers were damming up the little creek that ran behind our house. In fact, they dammed it up so much that the water began to kind of seep up into our backyard. And one of our neighbors decided he would take action. This is, I guess, before they had rules and regulations. And one day, standing in the backyard, I heard this huge explosion. In fact, it was as close to dynamite as I've ever been since. And he blew up that beaver dam. I mean, he blew it up, and you could see the beavers diving into the water. And this is no joke. Beavers are industrious. Before the water all ran out of the water they had backed up, they had dammed it back up again. Anybody ever had that experience with beavers? We need more beavers in the church. That's all I'll say. But that dynamite was loud. It blew a hole in where the beavers had been working. It eradicated that lake. It drained it almost completely out. And the water, you could just watch the water just going back down to its natural level. And I thought, what a wonderful thing to have that kind of power. That's what Paul says the cross is. It's the power that blows up all of our preconceptions and all of our ideas about what will save us. And in this particular passage today, and I didn't read all of it because there's more to it. There's something that talks about that. You see, Jesus, well, let me say this. Let's ask this question. Maybe you don't think the cross is anything but foolishness because it's not useful. You know, we live in a world of use. Fullness. Somebody will say, well, does it work? Or somebody will ask, what purpose does it serve? Or somebody say, is it going to save us money? Or is it going to help me feel better about my life? In other words, the value of anything is gauged not by God's power or by God's purpose, but we tend to judge things by how useful or how pragmatic it might be in our lives. If you don't think that's true, watch about 10 minutes of television that has commercials in it. Don't watch streaming without it. Watch it and see. What they're selling you is on the use or the value or the purpose of a particular product or a particular service or particular, or maybe this, maybe you like it because it has entertainment value. Entertainment value. Is it useful? Will it make us feel better? Will it entertain? And let me say this, if it were usefulness, Jesus would have come down from the cross, not died on the cross. He would have come down and continued to heal people. He would have come down and continued to cast out demons. He would have come down from the cross and continued to spread the good news of, like, the message that Bobby read of the beautiful message of the Beatitudes. That would have been much more useful. That would have served much more purpose. That would have gotten us to the place where we could say, hey, that This Jesus is important. But for some reason, God says, I want to show you. The other meaning for the word dunamis is miracle. Not only is it a powerful thing, but it's a miraculous thing. And I want to be careful, very careful here, because I don't want anybody to assume I'm putting down miracles. But let me say something. So many times in our lives, there are miracles going on and we just don't see them. For whatever reason. Blindness, spiritual blindness. Perhaps we're so busy doing what we're doing. Perhaps we're looking for some purpose or meaning in something, and we can't just accept what God is doing in that very moment. My experience with 12-step folks, with folks that have had issues with alcohol or drugs or any other kind of addiction, tells me this, that the thing that solves their addiction, the thing that keeps them sober, as it were, if they're an alcoholic, is not focusing on what's going to happen in the future, not worried and concerned about what they did in their past, but literally living just for today. How many miracles do we miss? How many times do we miss seeing the cross because we're so focused on what's beyond it or what's before it? And that we sang that song last week, the cross, the world behind me, the cross before me. You see, that's where we're going with this today. We're continuing the lesson from last week. But it is the power of God. And why is it the power of God? What purpose does the cross serve? It serves as the platform for Jesus to die and for then to Jesus to die and then to what? We said it in the creed, to rise again. The cross, somebody said it this way. Why is the cross powerful? Because it is the only event that has ever defeated the most powerful and most unavoidable force on earth, and that is death. We speak of it in terms of forgiveness of sins. But you know, I can go to someone and say, I forgive you. And someone can come to me and say, I forgive you. And somebody can pat me on the shoulder and say, I'm sorry for what I did. And we can put our arms around somebody and say, I'm so sorry for what I did. And we can do all that. But can I tell you something? That's a force that we can live with and do. But here's a force that we can't conquer, and that is death. The power of God, the power of the cross, is that neither politics, nor money, nor prestige, nor pride, nor anything can ever defeat death. We know it. We see it every day. We hear it. We see it in our sister or our parent, or sometimes, unfortunately and tragically, in our child. So the power of God on the cross is to defeat, ultimately, death, to give us eternal life. You see, we said it in Bible study the other day, we were talking about it, that even Lazarus rose from, who Jesus raised from the dead, he eventually died. All those people that were raised, including the widow's child in the Old Testament, they all eventually died. You see, the only message, the only power, the greatest power and the greatest expression of God's care and love for us is that he conquers death. Do you know something? It's the only message for a bunch of foolish, not very important people to offer to the world that has hope. Do you know that let's don't get prideful about it. Paul says that. Let's don't get prideful. If we're going to boast, let's do what? Let's boast in the Lord. Let's don't get prideful about the fact, but you know what? We have the only message that offers people any real, substantial, eternal hope. When I hit that deer last year, Alan, and took it to the body shop, and I was hoping it was going to be a certain amount, and it ended up being more, and I was hoping my insurance would cover it, and they did, and I was hoping that I wouldn't run into another deer, and I haven't, you know. But that's all trivial. You see, our hope is that we'll live forever, and that hope comes from the cross. But you see, it's not just foolish because it's powerful in a way that people can't understand sometimes, but it's wisdom of God. Paul says, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through foolishness of the proclamation to save those who believe. One of the reasons I fight the tendency sometimes to think I'm not in the mood to preach is to think, you know, if I get up today and if I preach the cross, if I preach the hope of eternal life, and if I preach that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, there might just be somebody out there that's going to hear it and say, you know what, I believe it, and now it's the power of God to save them. Can I say this right up front? I have no idea who that's going to be. I'd be very prideful and very arrogant if I said, I know who's going to be respond to my preaching today. I know who's going to hear it and respond. I know who's going to come down and accept Christ and then become a part of the church and the fellowship of the saints here at Mount Pleasant. I know that. Can I tell you something? I don't. You see, that's why I get up and preach every Sunday, because, you see, it's the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. And I don't determine belief. I only do what Paul said in another place when he said, and how can they hear unless someone preach? And how can they preach unless someone is sent? And how can they be sent unless someone is called? So when the mood strikes me and I say, don't do that, I think, gosh, what if I were to preach today? I remember being in the Little McCool United Methodist Church in the early part. In fact, it was a snowy day that day, and there was 10 people there, and I was 25, 26 years old. All of them were over 70. It was kind of a battle to see. And I got there early and the heat wasn't on, and the little gas space heaters on the floor, the propane heaters. So I went and lit one and it blew out, and I went and lit the other and it blew out. And 8 or 9, 10 people filtered in about 10 o'clock for the service that morning. Miss Maude Power, who was in her 90s, by the way, at the time, she came walking through the back door and brushing the snow off of her coat and everything. And she said, well, preacher, what have you got for us today? And I said, well, Miss Maude, I didn't think there'd be anybody, so I guess all I could do is talk about the cross. She said, that'll be enough. Now, the odds of any of those 70, 80, 90-year-old people having not already received the power of God and the salvation was pretty limited, but I got up just in case. You see, that's the wisdom of God, that God calls people who are reluctant and are imperfect and are failures sometimes in all that they do in life, and yet calls them into that to preach, to share it. And you know what? That's true for you too. You have a chance at any given moment to say the cross is the power of God and the salvation. And here's what it is. Because the God who died on the cross loved you, and He died for you, and He rose again for you so that you would have life. You see, the world did not know God through anything other than the cross. You can't think your way into salvation. You can't learn your way into heaven. All the wisdom and all the education and all of the knowledge, hear me say this, all the knowledge of Scripture you might have, your intelligence, in fact, some of us somehow think our good looks are going to get us there, but none of that will save us. Sometimes they might even get in the way. Sometimes they can divide churches when people begin to think, I know more than she does, and I've got the gospel down more than they do, and I've heard this, and I've got it. You see, there is none of that. If death is what's conquered by the cross, then God's wisdom is to say that all those other things are just like Paul uses the word dung, empty rags, filthy rags. Luther was right that all of our clever wisdom and reason can't save us. So I'm probably one of those people who thought for a long time that it was my looks. I remember Bishop Nolan Harmon standing up on another cold February day in 1984 teaching Methodist history. And he stood up in the class. He was in his 90s. And I remember Bishop Harmon, who was born to the Vick family in Vicksburg. He used to be so proud of that. His family was somebody asked him in class one day, said, well, are you full of pride that your town is named after your grandmother? The town of Vicksburg is named after your grandmother? He said, that's not worth very much anywhere else in the world. Bishop Harmon used to say to his preacher boys, he called them, and there were ladies in the class, He'd say, you may feel foolish some Sundays. You may feel without power some Sundays. You may feel the most unwise in the world. But remember this, God has called you to give a message that is foolish to those except those who believe it. So I'm foolish to think that any words spoken from this pulpit or from me can awaken faith, can cause sinners to repent, can encourage anybody that's despairing today with the good news. It isn't me. It's the cross. So sometimes we need to step away. And we just step back and just point. And in our lives, we should step back and step away and say, don't look at me. Don't look at the preacher. Don't look at the Bible study leader. Don't look at the elder or the deacon or the active church member who's been here all of her life. Don't look at them. But look at what they're pointing you to, and they're pointing you to the cross. And the cross is not about judgment. For John 3:17 says it, for Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be what? Saved. What a wonderful message on a cold, windy day. And it may seem foolish. So I ask you this morning, what is God calling you to share? What's He calling you to do? I guess He's saying, Ron, keep sharing that foolishness, because you never know who and where and when and how God's cross will break through. And the power of His love will penetrate the coldest heart. And the Holy Spirit will infuse them and infill them, and they will be filled with the knowledge that they are saved and forgiven and even healed. I hope you find encouragement in these words and not judgment. It's Christ crucified that we preach. It's the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's where it's to be found, and that's where salvation is to be found, not in our church membership, not in our church activities or ministries. No matter how holy and how righteous and how meek we carry them out and how humble we are and whatever they do. And Lord, let me say this, how blessed are all those who believe and trust in the message of the cross. Amen. The most beautiful message of all. So if I ever act like I'm not in the mood, say, just preach the cross, brother. You ain't got anything today, just stand up and point at it. I remember after that 9-minute sermon that morning, it was so cold in there, the other heater had gone out by that time, and Mr. Hubert Sprayberry came by me, and he was bald-headed, and he had one of those what do you call them, those little tight-fitting knit caps on his head. And he peered at me underneath the brow of his cap, and he said, Brother Ron, he said, that was the best sermon you've ever preached. And his wife, Helen, leaned over and said, and the shortest. It's not the length. It's not the erudite words. It's not the words that we use. It's not the education we have. It's not the power of anything and the wisdom of anything that's in all of this, folks. And what happens this morning is the power of God to save people so that they know their sins are forgiven and that their life is eternal. Isn't that a good promise? Isn't that worth sharing? Let's pray. Lord, we find ourselves sometimes in a mood just to stay home and stay warm. Or we find ourselves in the mood wondering what we'll say today. But Lord, You tell us, Paul told us, that this message that we preach, that we share in the sacrament of communion, that we sing about, this message of the cross, it's the power to change people and to save people. And that's our purpose. That's our purpose as a church. That whatever Bible studies we have or whatever activities we have for men or women, the fellowships, the meals, the Sunday school classes, the worship services, all of that is designed that the cross might be presented and that lives might be saved. Lord, can we trust you for that? Can we trust you for those that you'll bring? Can we trust you for those that come and hear? Can we trust you to work through your Holy Spirit to open their ears and their hearts and minds to receive the message of the cross? Lord, we do that now. And as we come in the next few minutes to share in Holy Communion, may it be a reminder again, another pointing to the cross of what you came to do. For we ask it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in God's Word today. If this message encouraged or challenged you, share it with someone who needs to hear it. That's part of witnessing boldly. We're so grateful you're part of this Global Methodist family. May you go from here filled with the joy of the Lord and the power of His Spirit. Until next Sunday, walk closely with Jesus. God bless you.